Yes, it is. Manic Monday, Ruskin and Sack, presented by Biddle Armstrong Insurance. I don't know about you. I thought it was the greatest backdoor cover in the history of the school. And Sam Pittman's 5-0 if you make investments on the game. So you can never be mad about that, right?
Sure. Sure. I would have been happier with a win, but okay.
Hey, in the pocketbook, that is a win for some people. You know what I mean?
All right. Raise your hand if you had the backdoor cover.
That's right.
DQ, do you place some shekels down on that?
Well, you know.
I didn't, but...
But if you had shekels to place,
yeah,
you wouldn't
if I
have.
Had any shekels.
Okay. You have no idea what a shekel is.
No.
Isn't it? It's a form of currency.
Well, sure. Clearly, they were screwed by the officials and the fact that the crowd was 80,000. And what are the other talking points I'm supposed to bring up here? And Catalan get thrown out of the game. Yeah, clearly that's why they lost the ball game. Those three things right there. I thought that those are the joke talking points. Now you've hit 3 o'clock and you're after. And here are the real talking points of how this game went down. No pom, put the pom poms down. And here's what really happened. All right, Kellen Mond found every hole in the zone defense all night long, and well, I'd say all night long. They actually weren't as good offensively in the second half as they were in the first half.
Took the air out of the ball in the second half and slowed everything down.
But he found every soft hole in the zone. We wondered when someone would figure out to find the holes in the zone, and he did it. And he was sitting back there in a Barca lounger throwing all night long.
We've discovered what the kryptonite is for Barry Odom's
accurate
defense.
Passers who never get hit.
Not just that, but the offensive line. The offensive line from A&M was better than I thought they'd be. Arkansas couldn't get pressure even when they blitzed. And I'm telling you, I watched 3/4 of the game again today. They tried everything. They tried the things that they did to Mississippi State. They tried what they did to Mississippi. None of it worked because the offensive line from A&M was outstanding.
Did he actually change uniforms at halftime? Or was he that clean in the same uniform for the whole
game? He delivered food via DoorDash and still got the pass off. No, the offensive line from A&M was outstanding, and when you can't get a rush and you leave it, look, it's as crazy as Kellen Mond's career has been. If you leave a good passer back there with plenty of time and a guy like Jimbo who knows how to attack zones, well, you get what you got. Yeah. Arkansas could not get pressure. And when you're a primary zone defense, zones tend to break down. I know everybody's going, oh, Catalan was the problem. No, it wasn't that. I mean, they were moving the ball before then. It was Kellen Mond standing in the pocket, knowing, understanding what he saw. Now, Andy Hodges sent me a great text before the game on Friday night. He's like, Kellen Mond can't throw against the zone, and Jimbo doesn't know what he's doing. Well, I think they figured it out.
He was 0 for 2.
Jimbo is outstanding as a play caller. And look, when you've got a month to throw the ball, zones will break down. Zones will eventually break down if you have no pressure. And that's what happened. That's it in a nutshell. I've listened to so many radio shows say, oh, Kellen Mond. Tell me why. Well, the reason is he had a ton of time back there. The offensive line from A&M was outstanding.
They're beasts. They're absolute beasts.
They ran it when they wanted to. They threw it when they wanted to. And there's nothing Arkansas could do about it.
No.
And you're going to have games like this season when you just run into a team that's more talented. You could scheme get you to a certain point. A&M is a top 10 football team. I don't know if they're top 5. They're a top 10 football team, and Kellen Mond was great on Saturday night. 21 of 26.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you got to find the tight end from A&M. We told you that on Friday was going to be part of it. That guy was unstoppable. And then they hit the back. Spiller was good. He wasn't great, but he was good enough to win the game. And I'm telling you, I watched this thing 3/4 of it, and they tried everything on defense. They blitzed. They laid back. They tried everything, and they just couldn't get it done.
He's hitting every button, and none of them were working. It's going to happen. And by the way, you're playing a better team, as we've said a couple times here. So, I mean, look, I mean, it is noteworthy, I think, given the recent history of this program, that they didn't lay down and quit in the second half, because we've seen that before with some of these guys with different leadership. It's not happening anymore. But they come back and they score you can call it a garbage touchdown late if you want to. But they end up closing it to a single-digit game there, a cover at the end to go to 5-0 against the spread.
Did you have
during
money
this season?
The game?
I don't want to talk about that. But how else am I supposed to pay for anything in my house? I'm not getting paid to do this. No, so I mean, you got to make money wherever you can. Zach, so,
Arkansas,
I mean,
outgained A&M.
Yes,
outgained them.
Yeah. Well,
they ran for 222.
Yeah.
The thing is, there were some drives in the second quarter where the game started to get away. Yeah. And that was that.
They outscored them in the second half 17-14. Mm-hmm. So they, and you could say throttle down, whatever. They outscored them in a second. Something that, you know, they probably made a couple of adjustments in the second half because they, A&M only had 164 yards of offense in the second half. So something changed there. Well, and Arkansas kept going. But the first half, where the damage was done.
A&M slowed it down. They slowed it down, took the air out of the ball, and just basically ground their way to a victory. I got a text from Eddie in Clarksville on Saturday night about the field goal kicking.
Was it in all caps?
Yes. You can't blame the two missed kicks on Scott Fountain. Their protection was good. Snap was good. Everything went fine on special teams. He just missed them.
That's not. You can't complain about special teams when a guy misses kicks because that's just bad luck. If they have some sort of alignment problem and the kick goes back 5 yards and then you miss, that's on the coordinator. But
these were 45-plus yard field goals. Those are not guarantees.
Right.
And you know he just missed the kicks. Fine, not a problem.
And in a rowdy environment.
Yes, in an environment, frankly, that they haven't faced this year. That's you know, it is a little bit unusual. Now, here on the offensive side of the ball, Felipe Franks got to get rid of the ball. I mean, he holds that thing for an eternity. And I know he's trying to push the ball down the field. I know he's trying to make plays. But sometimes, you know, discretion is the better part of valor. Throw the thing away, live to fight another day. Right. I mean, he took some shots. He put some balls into traffic. They looked better on offense. 461 yards is a nice number. 31 points on 461 yards, you know, it's okay. But there were moments where he had to make a play and he just held on to the ball too long.
No.
And if they still don't have a compliment for Treylon Burks.
If they can get a couple of, you know, who knows how the game's going to, who knows if they even go on to score 31 if the game isn't of the way it goes. But if they score 31, if the defense can get, I haven't looked at the number of stops that the defense got in the game, which I always do here. But, you know, if they get a couple more, let's see. They got 4 out of 12 possessions. You know, they've been getting, even against Georgia, I think they got like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
They get a couple more, I mean, we could be talking win here, I guess. I'm not sure. It was they had 4 straight possessions in the first half where they all, A&M scored touchdowns every time.
All A&M did was they got a lead and then kept Arkansas at arm's distance. Every time Arkansas scored, A&M would score. And you get a late touchdown to make it look cosmetically better. But it was a 42-24 game. A&M's just a better team. Hats off, move on. Team you got rolling into Fayetteville on Saturday, A&M is good. They're good up front, but their quarterback's a turnover machine. And they're a mess mentally. So, you know, turn the page, move on. A&M's just better. They were better in 2020. You know, you load up, you get them next year.
So there you go, 866-285-4005. If you want to get in here and react to it here on a Monday on Ruskin and Zach.
BE would like to know who took more shots, Felipe Franks or the Hoggets?
Definitely the bottle was being passed around at two sites on the Zoom on a Saturday. And at one point, I didn't speak for 15 consecutive minutes.
Because
I couldn't get a word in.
I am so proud of you for dressing up.
I did. I dressed up as Johnny Rose.
I was very proud of
from
you.
The Creek, and I couldn't get a word in on my own party. I couldn't get any words in. So we're not doing this anymore. And if we do, it's just going to be you and me. That's what I've decided executively today. Because both times, I am as the host of the Zoom. On the computer there, I'm overridden by noise at the other two play. I can't get a word in. I got things to say.
Can we vote on whether or not I'm in on the next one?
Well, you're in.
I am?
Well, your name's on the show, right?
Damn it.
It's not Ruskin and Ty.
Dang it.
Oh, well. Yeah, I didn't. Someone sent a text. Ruskin hasn't spoken in 15 minutes. I don't have anything to say. Just observing. Here,
it was a wonderful social experiment.
Yes, it was. That's for certain. So here we are on a Monday. We'll look at all the football stuff. Well, we can talk about the Cowboys as well.
Cowboy fans, 5 minutes wood chipper.
How about we can? I'll just tell you this right now. I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to play Saturday. I think they're going to monkey with the rules here some way, shape, or form, and he's going to play Saturday night against the Irish. I'll tell you, I want that out on Monday. I know you say it's out of their hands with the league or whatever. I don't believe that. I don't believe any of that. I don't believe it till he's not there in South Bend Saturday night. then I'll believe.
They don't need Trevor Lawrence to win that game.
They don't? Well, what's his name? Monongahela was had some difficulties.
Added to Tumpo.
What is his right, name again? Joey Bottomosa.
Yeah, him.
Your calls and texts and everything coming up here on Ruskin and Zach in a moment.
Often stolen from and copied. This is Ruskin and Zach.
We have returned here on Ruskin and Zach. 6:30 Saturday night for Arkansas and Tennessee on the SEC Network. Hogs catching 1.5 right now from the experts in Southern Nevada. Should be a really interesting ball game. We've talked about it a little bit. We're going to talk about it a little more coming up here shortly, because we have with us now Cole Kubelik from the SEC Network. He'll be on the sidelines on Saturday night. And you can also hear Cole weekdays on middays on Jocks FM in Birmingham. Cole, how's it going?
Hey, doing well, guys. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing good. We're doing good. So we'll start with the Arkansas side and just kind of what have you seen with Arkansas through these first five games of the year as you get ready for this game?
Well, I think the first thing that sticks out to me is the effort up front, offense and defensive line. They're playing a different style of ball. Last year it was turning guys loose. It wasn't finishing. Didn't have the same kind of effort. And then defensively, not tracking guys down, you know, not putting forth that extra effort to maybe try to finish a play or try to track a guy down from the backside, things like that. It's just been it's been a different attitude, a different demeanor with both of those groups. And it's not to say that, you know, they're one of the top two or three offensive lines in the league or top two or three defensive lines in the league. I don't think they have a ton of NFL guys, but the effort, the wherewithal, and the technique and fundamentals consistently are just better. That's the first thing that sticks out. And I think you have a quarterback that's capable. I think you have a quarterback that's being put in really good positions to be successful. They're not asking Felipe to do a whole lot. He's got good options on every play. He knows where to distribute the football. And they got some playmakers on that side of the ball that can really help you out if you do get them the football. So it's just it's a team that feels like they, I mean, you can almost see it on film that they feel like they're a breath of fresh air. They all got a new start. They feel like they look like they're just rejuvenated and have a little bit more energy. And it's cool to see, because usually in a rebuild, it goes the other direction, because you got to run guys off and you got to put guys through your off season. And, you know, you got a bunch of guys that aren't really sure if they even want to play football anymore. I've been through a coaching change, a negative coaching change, and it's not fun. I mean, I still feel like it took years off of our lives, what we went through when Terry Bowden left Auburn and Tuberville staff came in. So to see these guys sort of look like they're rejuvenated and it's a positive vibe, I think it's pretty cool.
In watching Arkansas's offense, it seems to be growing weekly. I thought they looked good at times against Texas A&M. It looked a lot more fluid than it has the past few weeks. How long do you think it'll take Kendall Briles to sort of get this thing to where he wants it, and will it happen this season?
Well, I think it's a tricky question when you say where he wants it, because I think with what he's working with now, he's probably pretty close. I mean, you're seeing Hudson Henry become a real big part of the offense. You're seeing Felipe Franks be able to handle a little bit more. The O-line's protecting at times a little bit better. You know, they're not blasting guys 2 and 3 yards off the ball. You know, they're not protecting perfect on every play, but I think that as a group collectively, they're beginning to have a better idea of where a play is going to go. If a protection breaks down, where to get the ball. So I think with what he has now, he's actually pretty close. Would he like to probably add a little bit more tempo, a few more shot plays? Sure. But with the style of the football that this team overall is playing, that might not be the most advantageous thing for them when it comes to winning football games. And I think the thing that sticks out to me to this staff is, you know, they're not going out and just doing their thing on offense, or just Barry's not just going out and doing his thing on defense. They're doing what they think gives them the best chance to win a game, that particular game. And, you know, it's going to take probably a few recruiting cycles to be able to run it, manage it the way that he wants to, but I would say with what he's working with now and where they probably thought they were going to be, he's pretty close to things going about, I don't want to say as well as they could, but close to the way that he wants it.
We're talking with Cole Kubelik from the SEC Network here on Ruskin and Zach. So I love your take on this, because Barry Odom's defense, the parts fit very well against Mississippi State and Ole Miss. They didn't have such a great matchup schematically, perhaps, against Texas A&M last week. How does Tennessee's offense match up with Barry Odom's defense, in your estimation?
Well, it depends on what offense we get. I mean, I think the first question is, who's the quarterback? And we've seen Jared Garantano be the guy, but we've also seen that, you know, Jeremy's not afraid to make a move. Now you have 2 weeks to prepare. Is this the time to make a move and maybe start planning for the future and start to go in a different direction? You got a ton of talent on that offensive line. Have they played up to their expectation? No, by no stretch of the imagination. I thought that they could be neck and neck with Alabama as the best O-line in the league. They have the best offensive linemen in the league in Trey Smith, but they haven't been that yet. There have been times when they've looked really good. I mean, Missouri looked great. Second half against Kentucky looked pretty good. Sorry, I got a dog about to get clipped by the UPS truck here. I'm trying to help it out. You know, I think that if you're talking about matchups, how they match up, they can't match up playing the same style that they had. And Barry will know that. Barry's fully aware of that. He's going to have to probably play more of an even or an odd front as far as, you know, four down or five down. He's going to have to bring extra defender to the box. But that's fine, because I don't think they have the guys on the perimeter that can be as big of a threat as some of the other teams that Arkansas has played this year. So, you know, it's an interesting philosophy to sort of, I mean, for me, I think we've seen, and Barry has sort of been at the forefront of this, we have seen a real test in patience this year with offense and defensive football. And I think what you're seeing is, who runs out of patience first? Is it the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator? And Barry has not been that guy. He's sitting back saying, you know, we'll make you go 13, 14 plays instead of 6 or 8 plays on this drive. We think you're going to make a mistake before we make a mistake. And it's paying off. I mean, you know, Mike Leach, no patience. Lane Kiffin, no patience. Look at Jim Chaney in the Kentucky game. I felt like they could have handed that ball off on every play and probably won that football game. Same thing with Ole Miss against Arkansas. I mean, you guys tell me, if Lane Kiffin hands the ball off on every single play of that game, I feel like they probably find a way to win it late.
They don't throw six picks.
Yeah, exactly. But they had the run going at the same time, and they had good run looks. But they just, I mean, these offensive coaches, for whatever reason, they just cannot do it. And it's one of the cool things that Kendall's doing is he's not turning and handing the ball off 45 times a game, but they're really quick, really easy, high-percentage throws that essentially act as a part to your run game. I mean, it's an attachment to your run game. It's a, you know, it's a leaf on the branch of your running attack, and it only makes things easier. So I think if they come out and they want to play ground and pound, it could potentially be a bit of a matchup problem for Arkansas's defense. But we got to see them come out and do it and execute it first. And those backs run hard. Eric Gray and Ty Chandler are really fun to watch. I mean, it's shoulder square, it's head down, it's leaning forward, finishing runs. But have they solely committed to that yet? Not really.
If I'm Jeremy Pruitt and I had any hair, Jared Garantano would make me pull the rest of it out. I mean, he makes throws where you go, okay, now I understand why, you know, he's a senior quarterback, he started a bunch of games, and then he has moments where you just want to grab your head and go, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. I can remember sitting down with Jeremy last year and asking him about Garantano, and his exact response was, guys, we don't know what he's doing out there. I mean, we got no idea what's going on. But he did kind of tell us that he has more confidence in him this year and somebody being able to run the offense, that that they kind of believe that he can be someone who manages things. And then, like you said, you get the Kentucky game. You know, I'm one of those guys that always believes, you know, that turnover gene, that once you have it, you know, genetically, you can never get it out. Like, if that's in your wiring, you can't hire an engineer to come in and reprogram you. Like, you can't circuit around it somehow, some way. Like, you either have it or you don't. It's always like that computer bug is always going to show up somewhere down the road. And, you know, it's going to turn your computer off, or it's going to shut it down, or you're going to get stalled, or something's going to happen, and you're going to revert back to it. And Jarrett has proven that he's got it in him. And again, some of that goes back to that patience we were talking about, because early in that Kentucky game, he's checking down, and it's working. They're picking up 4, they're picking up 6, they're picking up 8. But next thing you know, he's going down the middle of the field, and Kentucky comes away with the football. So he has so much arm talent, though. You're right. I mean, I see a couple throws on film, and I'm like, how did he do that? Like, how do you get that ball out? And then he gets it about in an accurate manner with a lot of velocity. So it's an interesting conundrum that Jeremy has on his hands, because I think he wants to try to win games this year. And if you ask me, it's not even close. Jarrett is the guy that gives him the best chance to win games this year.
If you look at Tennessee statistically on defense, their numbers put them towards the bottom of college football. They've got individual talent. To'o To'o is really, really good. I think Schamberger's a guy that's coming. But when I was watching a lot of film on him today, their safeties are bad. I mean, they bite on play action fakes. Alabama must have hit him 6 or 7 times on play action, and they're not the only team that hit him.
No, I think a big part of that is they've had to move some guys around. You know, Alante Taylor has had to go to safety and back to corner. Bryce Thompson should probably be a corner. He's had to play some safety. They were kind of nicked up early and hadn't really gotten to be 100% yet. And listen, a lot of that is you don't have disruptors up front. I mean, outside of DeAndre Johnson, they don't really have a guy that can consistently create problems in pass rush situations. That most of the bigger D linemen, they're kind of the same guy. They don't really stick out. They don't really flash. They don't give you a lot of disruption. So if you can't get that up front, then you got to try to create. And obviously that puts your DBs, your secondary, second, third level, your defense in bad spot.
I mean, they looked okay against South Carolina. Against like competition, they looked okay. They looked okay against South Carolina. Looked real good against Missouri. But when they started running into the Kentuckys, the Bamas, the Georgias, it seemed to me that they were outclassed, especially up front. You're 100% correct. They can't get pressure without bringing somebody extra.
No, and I'm not. I mean, listen, I'm not going to judge anybody against Alabama and Alabama.
That's not fair.
I mean, Alabama made Georgia's defense look pedestrian. I mean, that's when they were healthy, and they're not healthy now. But it's really strange. I've had to have more conversations with myself. This is probably pretty scary that I'm admitting this about football this year than any other year. I mean, I'll go watch a group, an offensive line, a defensive line, or just an offense or defense. I'm like, man, that group's pretty good. They got it coming on. Next week they're miserable, and then I'm like, well, maybe LSU's just not that good. And then you know, Missouri looks good, and then I'm like, well, okay, maybe that front seven wasn't as good as I thought it was, or you know, Kentucky's a really good team. Well, they can't pass the ball, so it just I've had to like talk myself off these ledges almost every week consecutively, and I've just really told myself now we just got to wait. Like it's going to be different every week. It's going to look weird every week. Some guys are practicing, some guys aren't. Some guys haven't been practicing. Some guys are just trying to get back in the lineup. So it's hard to gauge what a lot of these teams are. I mean, I tell people this. I went and spoke to a quarterback club Monday night, and I said, listen, guys, there's only two teams in the SEC that I know what I'm going to get every week. There are two teams in this league that when I put the film on Sunday, it's going to look exactly the same way. That's Alabama and Vanderbilt. Like, those are the two teams that I know exactly what I'm going to get every single week. So, Tennessee's been up, looked pretty good at times. You know, Tennessee's looked bad at times. Same thing with Missouri. Same thing with Kentucky. Same thing with Auburn. I mean, it's just – and what's weird is Arkansas has been one of the more consistent teams as far as how they played and how they've looked. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that they should be talked about with Georgia, Florida, A&M, Bama, but at least they've been a little bit more consistent than a lot of those other teams that I've named. I mean, Ole Miss, look at them last week against Vandy. And again, we probably shouldn't judge them against Vanderbilt, but there have been other times that offense looked like, I mean, maybe the best offense in college football. And then they can't tackle anybody, or they can't stop anybody, or they come out and refuse to try to run the ball, or they come out against Auburn and they know what looks they're getting and they still try to go into it. And it's just, it's been a very strange season. And, you know, I mean, just starting from with the fact that the offenses have looked as good as they have and the defense have looked as bad as they have. Like, I think we all thought that those roles would have been reversed going into this year. I know I did.
Yeah.
And so it's been an odd season. And, you just hope that some of these teams are continuing to figure it out, and we'll try to continue to improve and get better and better.
Final few minutes here with Cole Kubelik from the SEC Network here on Ruskin and Zach. A thought or two, if you don't mind, Cole, on Florida and Georgia coming up Saturday afternoon.
I mean, for me, I had Georgia-Kentucky last week, and I watched Jordan Davis come out of the game, Julian Rochester come out of the game. I watched Seed come out of the game. I watched Walker come out of the game, and I already know that Monty Rice is playing through a pain threshold that – you know, he'll go as long as he can handle it with his foot deal. And I'm just thinking, and then I see Richard LeCount in a motorcycle accident Saturday night, and that is not the same group anymore. It's not. And seeing the offense in person, yeah, the O-line's impressive. The backs are impressive. I love their group of tight ends, but they are not very explosive. And, I mean, even with Zamir White, as good as he looked last week, Georgia has not had a running back carry a football over 26 yards in over 330 rush attempts. They're not even explosive in the run game, as good as they are at tailback. So you get against an offense that has legitimate matchup problems, a quarterback that's anticipating, a quarterback that is accurate and has weapons that not even Georgia can match up with. I mean, I see Kyle Pitts flex out as a wide receiver last week against a corner from Missouri, and he's still getting 2, 3, 4 yards of separation. I don't know how you handle him from that point. Kadarius Toney looked like every bit of Percy Harvin last week. I mean, how do you manage him? And you got different guys that can come at the quarterback position and run the ball. I don't even think the offensive line has to be great based on the way that Trask and Dan are running that system. And we know the defense still has athletes. And if you're going to have a bad defense, at least make them athletic where you can hopefully be problematic. And I think Florida has that. So I think on a bad day, Florida could put up 24-28. And I'm not sure I see Georgia putting up 28 on anybody the rest of the year.
Who do you think the second best team in the league is behind Alabama? And then where does LSU sort of fit into this equation here? Because they are, I mean, they're in a free fall after last week.
Yeah, they're, I mean, LSU's bottom third right now. Not talent. And that's what's so crazy about it. They have guys. I mean, you look at Jacoby Stevens going to play in the NFL. Derek Stingley's going to be a first-round draft pick. Ollie Gay will be in the NFL. B.J. Ojulari's going to be in the NFL. Jabril Cox, 2-time All-American, North Dakota State. He's going to play in the NFL. It's wild. You know, Jefferson's going to play in the NFL. Yeah, they got 2-3 other receivers that are going to play in the NFL. You know, Ed Ingram, left guard, going to play in the NFL. But they just... You got a freshman quarterback. You're playing a freshman offensive lineman. You got some younger receivers you're trying to lean on. And then obviously on defense, I think there's a real communication issue, be it what kind of defense they're going to be, where they need to be lined up, what they're running. I think it's a problem. You know, we talked to Bo Pelini at the Vanderbilt game when we had him. He said that was a problem. And it's obviously has not been repaired. So I think a lot of this too is coming down to leadership and just guys that have been there, guys that have done it. You know, I mean, I look at this as, you know, this is the college student that's been taking electives for the last 2 years, and now all of a sudden they're trying to get their core curriculum knocked out in one semester, and they have no idea what hit them. Like, they're just not ready for it.
Did we underestimate the effect of Brady and Aranda on, you know, really top-notch talent? I mean, you're sort of going through the learning curve again.
Dave Aranda, absolutely, 1,000%. And I think Joe Brady's good. But I think he had some help, and I think Joe Burrow was that good, and some of the other guys were that good. But, you know, and you can see the Brady effect, too, because, you know, some of the things that LSU's not doing this year, they're not a lot of pre-snap motion, not a lot of pre-snap movement, where they're out there trying to get guys matchups that they want. You know, they're not going as fast as they were last year. They're not trying to trap defenses like they did last year. So, yeah, you can see his impact as well. But Dave Aranda's the one that's absolutely hammering them right now, because Dave's a heck of a coach, a heck of a guy. And if you're around him for 10 minutes, you can feel it, you know it. And I absolutely think that's making a big difference.
I want to ask you about your alma mater. I make the argument that Gus Malzahn's the most influential coach this century. I mean, they changed the rules to stop him. At Auburn, they seem to be Jekyll and Hyde. You get them good 1 week, they lose, you know, they blow out LSU, they lose to South Carolina. What's going on down at Auburn?
Hey, it might be Lane Kiffin now. I mean, he's getting fined for retweets now. You got a new rule in place where you can't practice and you're indoor. I mean, Lane's getting rules changed faster than
that's true.
Did when he was first in Alabama the first 2 years. Like, I mean, Nick had gray shirts and tempo and agents and the whole thing, and he got all that changed. I mean, Lane's coming in here getting all kind of rules changed right off the bat. So it's a weird situation. You know, I don't think people understand what a young football team they have, what a big, good, quality senior class they had last year. I mean, we forget about guys like Tavares Davis last year in that secondary, and then you had a couple offensive linemen that have been in the program for 4 and 5 years, and a transfer like Jack Driscoll that came in was a 2-year starter. It's just, those were big impact guys, and they don't have a lot of those guys this year. So with the new offense under Chad, it's taking them a little while to get a rhythm, get a feel. You had really 4 new starters on the offensive line. One of those was a transfer in who hadn't even been in the program, and Brandon Council. Now he's hurt. He's been their best lineman. He's out for the rest of the year. The D-line, it took them a little while. I thought they had their best game against LSU, but let's go back to what I told you guys earlier. Should I even be judging them by what they did against LSU? They don't have Derrick Brown. They don't have Marlon Davidson. They don't have the guys that they've been used to lean on, and now those kids have to go out and make plays, and they just consistently have not been doing it. So I think they're finding their way. Tank Bigsby has been a godsend for them because I think he's someone that they can lean on and really sort of build a program around for the next 2-3 years. And makes an offensive line look better. They just need to find a way to continue to help Bo Nix be comfortable and find ways to create and be successful that he likes doing. And I think that was there were button heads on that a little bit earlier in the year.
He's Cole Kubelik. He'll be on the sideline for Arkansas and Tennessee Saturday night, 6:30 SEC Network. Thank you, Cole, for the time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Cole Kubelik with us here, Ruskin and Zach. Man, that was good.
That was good.
That was a football sandwich right there, wasn't it?
There's all your sports.
Football sandwich. The day after Zach's beloved National Sandwich Day.
I am so sick of hearing about
that. What would you rather talk about? National Sandwich Day or fall baseball?
Can we talk about...
You got to pick one.
Let's do Sportscast or the ear balloting.
Oh, I vote. You know who I voted for in that?
Jabone.
Swofford.
Good. Vote for Swoff.
I want him to be like Rick Renteria with the White Sox. Win manager of the year when he's fired.
Yeah.
Parade. I don't know if he got fired, but I mean, he's not there. I voted for Swofford.
It's unjust.
Am I allowed to talk about the balloting? I don't know what
Free
the rules
Bobby.
Are. The NSMA. I'm a voter in that. And you can't vote for yourself. So I didn't. But if I could, I would.
You create a couple burner accounts. You can vote for anything.
That's right. All right. 866-285-4005. Lots more ahead. You're on Ruskin and Zach. Don't you go change it, baby.
The Bad Boys of Arkansas Radio.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
Razorback football team's back on the practice field today in preparation for Tennessee on Saturday. Game time 6:30. SEC Network has the TV. Tom Hart from his living room, Jordan Rogers from the salon, and Cole Kubelik will be on the sidelines. You can listen to it right here. Chuck, Quinn, Gino, start your game day with Arkansas Game Day. His Eminence and Sunshine will be on the air at 1:30. I got a letter today from the desk of Hunter Yurecek. Are we obligated to say that? That was not my talking points today. Do I have to say from the desk of, or can I just say that they're going to allow 4,000 fans into basketball games this year?
You can do whatever you want.
And according to the head
show,
and according to the head hog, they will have a piped in crowd noise.
So unlike the rest of the day, you can do whatever you want with these 4 hours. All right,
so there will be piped in crowd noise, so I can hear Grant bitch about it all day. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm sorry, Grant. I shouldn't say that. Tampa Bay Buccaneers officially act. By the way,
you're in a fiery mood, man.
By the way, Grant. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers officially activated Antonio Brown from the suspended list Tuesday. Coach Bruce Arians said Tuesday that Brown will have a role in Sunday night's game. I predict a complete and total meltdown at some point on Sunday. Yes? All right. The Dallas Cowboys, you asked this question yesterday. Already a historic 0-8 start against the spread this season are now listed as a double-digit home dog for just the second time in the franchise's storied history.
Wow.
In the Super Bowl era.
Okay,
they are a 13.5 point underdog to the Steelers on Sunday. The only time they've been less favored to win a game at home was in 1989 when they were listed as a 14.5 point underdog to the defending champion San Francisco 49ers. They lost that game 31-14.
That was that the 1-15 year?
No, that was the year after.
Okay.
It was the 1-15. It was Jimmy Johnson's first year because Landry's last year was 88.
Right.
That was a game, and don't ask me why I know this, but Joe Montana didn't play in that game. Steve Young did, and he sucked.
Does anyone remember Texas Stadium? It looked like there were like pee stains on the carpet at Texas Stadium. Like you'd be watching, it would be a perfectly dry day, and there'd be this like. Well, mark at like the 35-yard line.
They would now that was AstroTurf. You guys right. are not familiar with
that
AstroTurf.
That was Texas turf. They had their own kind of AstroTurf there. Yeah.
That stuff was basically it wasn't even a quarter inch. It was a pad that was painted green and there was concrete underneath.
Right.
And what they would do is they'd wet it down. You never played on this stuff. You would get third-degree burns,
right.
Like up and down your arms.
So it was like playing in a parking lot.
I don't have hair on the back of my calf from a third-degree burn that I got on AstroTurf.
Oh.
Sure y'all wanted to know that. But they would wet it down because it was supposed to make it a little less likely for you to get a third-degree burn. However, science will tell you that water evaporates. So midway through the third quarter in the Texas heat, guess what? It's dry and it's hot.
And throughout the game, you're looking, and I'm like, why is there a pee stain at the 19-yard line? Like, what's going on? And they were like, they weren't tiny. They were like, 10 yards wide,
Okay, I did a Monday Night Football game in 1994. I watched them wet the thing down before the game. I'm there out there with these fire hoses just soaking this thing down. Here's the problem at Texas Stadium. It has the arc in the middle, like its crown.
The crown, yeah.
Well, all the water drains to the sidelines, and they didn't drain it. It just stood there. So you, like on the sidelines, you were in a puddle of water. It was like going to Fayetteville. I mean, it was really bad. But anyway, your Ruskin and Zach Twitter polls today. You're right. I'm fired up today. I don't know.
You are in a bad mood.
I'm not in a bad mood. I can fix this country's problems in 3 easy steps.
All right.
But I'll do the polls first.
Okay. Then tell us your 3-point plan.
Okay. My 3-point plan is I will solve everything.
Okay.
Who's the best team in the SEC after Alabama? Is it A&M, Florida, or Georgia? 51.2% of you said it's Georgia. Did you watch any of the election coverage last night? 86.6% of you said yes. Best coordinator in the SEC? Is it Sark, Odom, Elko, or Grantham? 85.5% of you said Barry Odom. Bigger loss, Kylan Hill to Mississippi State or Jalen Waddle to Alabama? 65% of you said Jalen Waddle. Assuming Alabama wins the SEC, who would most likely be the second team in the college football playoff? Georgia, Florida, A&M, or other? 57.2% of you said Georgia. And have you ever cussed before? 92.2% of you said yes. 7.8% of you were lying. Could the people that run the Chick-fil-A drive-thru run the ballot counting process better than the people actually doing it? 93.6% of you said yes.
Yeah, they got a lot of jobs that we could sign the Chick-fil-A crew up for.
Those people need
They are efficient.
They are more efficient than an AT&T call center.
Oh.
Fantastic.
Okay. All right, what is your three-point plan to save America? Okay,
Zach's running for president in 2024. Here's my three-point plan.
Are you announcing this today?
Yes, I am. I'm running for president. You want to come along as the VP?
No, I want to be one of these shadowy. I want to be your, like, Karl Rove in the background pulling the strings.
All right,
I don't want to be up front.
Number one, and this is, you know, this is for me, cushion toilet seats for everybody.
Okay.
I will sanction that right away. What?
Okay. That's an interesting first choice, but okay, go on.
Two, we're going to eliminate all the old people. Because I can
eliminate
them. We're going to look, I am, and I'm not set on the year yet. I'm thinking 65, but I'd like them to maybe have a couple years worth of retirement, so maybe we'll push it to 70. We can drive down healthcare costs. I can pay for all the kids' free colleges. Everybody want zero for your healthcare costs? I can do it. So,
Okay. So you're going to eliminate old people.
Yes.
Who are the only people that vote in elections, as we again have learned this year.
No.
So no one, who's going to vote for
we
you?
We had then? Record turnouts across many. Look.
Across many key demos?
Hear me out on this. Let's say Zach became president in 2010. Neither of these two bozos would be running.
Well, you wouldn't have. It'd have been 2008.
It'd have been
you'd have beat Obama in 2008?
With that platform? Yeah. It'd be me and Kanye.
With the cushioned toilet seat and eliminate the elderly platform?
Yes. Think about all the money we're freeing up. Think about all the money.
How are you going to eliminate them?
Have you ever been in a grocery store line and had to be behind one of these people who has to ask every single question? You're like, come on! We wouldn't have this problem. They're gone. You ever been riding along in a left lane and somebody's doing 35 and a 55 and you're like, I'll bet you this guy's 84 years old. Sure enough, I mean, they can barely see over the steering wheel. Am I wrong? I'm telling you, there's money there to be had. Social Security will be there when I get there if they're gone. My health costs are nothing. Not that I'm paying for them now anyway.
What was the third part of your plan?
I forgot.
Okay. Well, then you're in line with these two. I don't remember.
It was a great plan, too. It was something to do with us. I don't remember. I don't remember what the third one is. It'll come back to me.
Sports Talk hosts are guaranteed $500,000 a year salary.
No.
Well, we're not doing
that. But you know what? If I eliminate the old people, the money's there. Yes. I can do this.
Okay.
Now, how we're going to get rid of them, you know.
That's a very controversial move. Your platform is, and I'm your platform is cushioned toilet seats and euthanasia. That's what you're running on. Okay, whatever. Okay,
I'm thinking. Okay, now here's a text that says define old. Again, we're forming a super PAC now and an exploratory committee to figure out what. I figure if we said maybe 72, they couldn't hear us anyway, so they don't know what's coming.
I can hear those ads now. I can.
Zach Arns wants to unplug Grandma. Don't vote for
my
Zach.
My dad's 71. My mom's 70. Here's the speech: Mom, Dad, it's been a good run, but I need your money.
Call your local officials today and tell them we don't want to unplug Grandma.
See, and if we start it in year one of my my presidency. If we start it in year one, by the time I go up for re-election, they won't be there. So I don't have to worry about them.
This is outrageous. You're just going to just off people.
No.
It's 70. Happy birthday. Here are your pills. Bye.
Now, here's Chip Souza. He says he's 59 and he wants me to send him to Hawaii. No, Chip, by the time in 2024, you'll be 63. So you're safe for 7 years. You don't want me reelected because then your time's up, my man. I'm just saying. I mean, there's a lot of money. Nobody in this country would pay for health care if I have my way.
Because you would eliminate all the old people.
There's billions of dollars.
The strain on the system.
Think about all the Viagra that's now suddenly available for you guys. You're welcome.
Oh, well. Okay.
I can't remember what the third point was, but it was brilliant.
I'm sure it was.
It was absolutely. Who wants to be my running mate on this?
Anybody?
Anybody? Who's with me?
I prefer to be a... be your chief of staff or something in the office. Be an office guy.
Oh,
I don't want to be out front here.
You just want to be one of those political operatives.
That's right. Yes. Right. I want to be a political operative.
Breaking into the
operative.
Watergate building. That's right. Yeah. I'd have you break into the Watergate building.
Call me Gordon
now.
Liddy. That's
right.
What I want.
G. Gordon?
That's right.
I'm thinking that maybe we can solve a lot of problems in this country by getting rid of the elderly.
The worst thing. This is a worse take than your newfound affinity of Florida Georgia Line. I have to say,
I love Florida Georgia Line.
This is a worse take than that.
I will talk to my parents first. I will tell them on national TV. Mom, Dad, it's been fun, but basically you're too expensive.
No,
we got to make some cuts around here. We got to run this like a company. The people who cost the most are the first ones let go. That's the way they do it in business, right? The oldest who cost the most have got to go. I'll even take suggestions. Look, if you're slightly under the 72 line and you know you've got somebody in your family you want out, I'll listen. But I'm thinking like anything 65 and under, I'm not going to touch.
Darren tweets in, he's 50. He's a man. He's 50.
Mm-hmm.
And he promised you he don't need no Viagra.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, Darren. Oh, big man. Okay.
Mike says, can you include slow drivers with that? Yes. Look, these people should be given a physical and a driver's test at 65 years old every year. Frankly, they're slowing me down.
Yes, the irony is old people currently ensure that we get paid every other week.
Whatever.
This is a Zach Arnes production. I don't even want to work on this campaign anymore now. I'm rethinking all of this. I disavow, okay? Ruskin and Zach.
Unbiased and unafraid.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
We have returned, Ruskin and Zach, with you. And visiting now with Wes Rucker from Vols 247. We look ahead to Arkansas and Tennessee coming up Saturday night in Fayetteville. Wes, how you doing?
Doing all right, guys. Just a standard normal day here in America. Nothing big going on.
No, not a thing. No big
news.
Do
you know your blood type? We're trying to. Most people don't. Do you know your blood type?
I actually should, but I don't. My mom, who's the dean of a health school, would be really upset with me for that answer, but I, off the top of my head, I don't know.
Okay. All right. We won't tell her.
It's right. Maybe she won't hear this. All right. Well, let's look at this Tennessee journey through this season. Well, we'll just sum it up for us. How this thing has been
interesting,
to say the least, as always, over in Knoxville.
Yeah, it's kind of been two seasons in one, really. For the first 10 quarters of the season, Tennessee didn't turn the ball over a single time. And it opened the season with the win at South Carolina, took Mizzou behind the woodshed, and then had a lead at Georgia at halftime. Things looking okay there. That's kind of like the team that I think a lot of us thought Tennessee would be this season. And then sort of the bottom fell out. They started turning the ball over left and right, and since then, nothing has gone the way anyone around here wants it to go. It's been really disappointing for a lot of people, because I think it's been self-inflicting as much as anything. It's not been like they went into the season turning it over, and then they kind of got it better. It's been the other way around, right? They were a little bit cleaner to begin the season, since then, it's just kind of been falling apart, and it's kind of tough to figure out where they are right now.
You mentioned the name Jarrett Garantano to a Tennessee fan, and they kind of like they cringe and they tense up a little bit. I mean, this poor kid's been a lightning rod since he got there. I don't think he played. He has moments where you want to look at him and go, "Where's your head, man?" But there are throws that he makes where there's times he looks pretty good, and then there's other times where the wheels come off.
Yeah, he makes throws. I think you put it right. He makes throws that I don't think there are many starting quarterbacks in the country who can make. I really do believe that. When he makes some of those deep throws, and he's got great arm strength, he can put it right where it needs to be. And a lot of the time, he looks like that kind of a player. But when the wheels come off the bus for him, they really, really fall off. And he makes turnovers in bunches. He just has plays that they just come at the worst time, and a lot of them make no sense at all. You know, sometimes you can look at a throw and be like, okay, the receiver was supposed to zig and he zagged. That's really his fault, not the quarterback's. Those kind of things, they happen, and when you watch film, you see that stuff. But a lot of his decisions, you can see as he's making them, what in the hell are you doing? It's almost like the ball's leaving his arm, and you go, that's not good. That's not good. And I guess from the press box, we get kind of an eagle eye view anyway, so we can see that stuff easier than you can see it on the field sometimes. But when he makes mistakes, they really, really cost Tennessee. And that's been, you know, I think 4 defensive touchdowns they've allowed in the last 3 games. You can't win doing that. I mean, I think they've had 11 turnovers, and 10 have either been returned for a touchdown or they've had the ball starting in field goal range. You just can't win games doing that. You're never going to win football games doing that.
Given that, and with the week off, how close are we to seeing Harrison Bailey, the big prize recruit?
You know, that depends on who you ask, to be frank. I think as long as this game or this season is within reach in terms of them putting together a pretty good season, I don't think they'll make a change at quarterback. I know that people keep wanting me to say that, and I keep saying, guys, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. It may not be what you want to hear, but it's what I'm hearing, and it's that they believe Jarrett Garantano gives them the best chance to win football games. And when he's playing right, he absolutely is their best quarterback in terms of getting them results now. But, you know, the question is, he makes mistakes that a lot of times will get somebody else pulled, and he gets more chances. And I think that's what's frustrating a lot of people is that, well, if you know what's going to happen with him, why are you going back to him? And it's because they feel like he's the guy who gives them the best chance to win. So until that changes, he's going to be their quarterback. And so unless, you know, this game gets to be within, you know, 20, 30 points either way in the second half, I don't know that Tennessee will make a change.
Talking with Wes Rucker from Falls 247 here on Ruskin and Zach. So outside of Garantano, what else is just give us kind of a snapshot of the rest of the offense. The offensive line, are they good? Have they struggled? Just kind of how have you seen them through 5 games?
Well, Tennessee's offensive line was supposed to be one of the best in college football coming into the season. And I know that's a mouthful, but when you talk to NFL scouts, they'll tell you the same thing. There's 4 or 5-star prospects on that line. A lot of those guys are going to be paid good money to play at the next level. They ought to be a pretty good offensive line, right? Stands to reason. They've kind of been erratic, though. That's been a real disappointment. I think run blocking's been okay, but pass protection I don't think has been very consistent. Now, it was a lot better in that way against Alabama. And this Alabama team is great. It doesn't rush the passer as well as it has the past couple years, but you know what kind of athletes you're dealing with there. And I think in 25 dropbacks, they only had 1 sack allowed in that game, or 0 sacks and 1 pressure, I should say. So that was better. You know, receiver, Tennessee's always got players. Tennessee still has players. You know, even though Jennings and Callaway are gone, they've got a crop of newcomers that can really, really run. And they've got a couple older guys like Palmer and Johnson who are just good football players. Not much to speak of at the tight end position. Tennessee's kind of in the transition year there, and the guy who would be the starter is hurt. And right now, at running back, that's where they're getting a lot of their production. Ty Chandler and Eric Gray are both very good running backs. I don't know if they're All-America types or anything, but they're certainly really good running backs, and they're guys who Tennessee wants to get the ball to as much as possible.
You mentioned Eric Gray. That's a guy Arkansas wanted very badly in their backfield. I watched him a little bit against Tennessee, watched him against Kentucky. This guy is, I mean, he's a sophomore. I mean, he could be one of those guys that's a difference maker for them because he's one of those guys, he can catch it a little bit, and he can run it.
Yeah, he is. And both of Tennessee's running backs, you know, and again, I'm not saying either one of these guys is Alvin Kamara. I'm not that dumb. But they kind of are both in that mold. You know, they're both guys who they might surprise you with their power, and I think both do that at times, but they're really just versatile backs. They can play in the slot. They can play kind of as a traditional running back, tailback. There's a lot of different things. You can put them both on the field at the same time, too, and that can give defenses some tough stuff to look at there. But Gray is definitely a guy who, at the end of last season, against kind of Indiana, which is a pretty solid Indiana team, and Vanderbilt, he was just wiping the floor with those guys. And at times this season, he's looked really good, too. I think he will probably end up being the guy who was the leading rusher at the end of the year. I know Chandler's had that title the past couple seasons, and Chandler is incredibly fast. If Ty Chandler gets behind you, you're probably not going to catch him. But Gray has a little bit more wiggle to him. Gray's the guy who can get into the open spaces a little bit better, and he's a guy that, you know, if he's not touching the ball 20 times on Saturday, something's wrong.
Wes, let's go to the other side here, and as Felipe Franks looks into that Tennessee defense, what's that how have they performed so far this year?
You know, not quite as good as I thought they would have, to be honest with you, because I think Jeremy Pruitt is one of the best defensive coaches in college football. I mean, the guy was, you know, waiting in the wings to get any number of the decent head coaching jobs for years because he's a really good defensive coordinator and a good recruiter. And then Derek Ansley, their defensive coordinator now, was the NFL's highest-paid defensive backs coach 2 years ago. So they're really well-coached normally on that of the ball. They've just been a little bit inconsistent. You know, Henry Toto'o there at inside linebacker, he's a stud. He's all over the place, makes all kinds of plays. But whoever lines up next to him in that 3-4 there at inside backer, they've had some questions there. And I think really the places that have been disappointing have been the defensive line, where they returned a whole bunch of players. It got so bad there, they actually got rid of the defensive line coach 2 games ago. And that was 4 games into his career.
In the middle of the game, right? Coach.
Yeah, that depends on who you ask. It was done by the next morning at the very latest. I'm comfortable saying that. Whether it happened during the game, I don't know for sure. I know he finished the game, but, you know, bottom line is by the next day, he was out. So, yeah, that was a disappointment. They can play better there. But I think in the back end, too, they returned a lot of guys there. They've got 3, I think, pretty darn good cornerbacks. You know, they're replacing an all-SEC guy at safety in Nigel Warrior. And they've just not been quite as good as I thought they would be there. But they've still got pieces there, and they've still got talent. But they have really struggled defending the pass over the middle of the field. Down the sidelines, those corners, I think they're usually pretty good. But at safety, they just, you know, safety, the nickel spot, any of the linebackers in pass defense, anywhere over the middle of the field, if that's a throw Felipe Franks is comfortable making, and he's got guys who are comfortable going over the middle, there are plays to be made there against Tennessee.
Tennessee's been outscored 75-73 in their games in the first half. The second half, it's 90-38. That tells me one of two things. Either the strength and conditioning isn't very good, they're not making coaching adjustments, or the depth isn't there. Is it any one of those things from what you see?
You know, I don't think that it's a depth issue, really. I think they're actually deeper than they have been. I think they've come out in the third quarter, and they've made really, really bad plays. You know, that it sounds really stupid when you say it that simply, but they have been really bad in the third quarter. They have had a lot of turnovers. They've had turnovers returned for touchdowns. They've just not executed in the third quarter. And it's one of those things that I don't know if you can say it's that the coaches are or are not making adjustments, because the players are just out there making horrible mistakes in the third quarter. And you can't really coach around that. You know, you can say, you can tell a guy where to throw it, but, you know, if it's not there, don't throw it there. You know, block the guy in front of you. By the way, don't give the ball to Alabama and let them return 30 yards for a touchdown. Not normally what you want to be doing. So, I mean, it's hard for me to say that it's that, because Tennessee has actually been a pretty decent team in terms of those halftime adjustments that people talk about all the time, and I think sometimes too much. But Tennessee's been pretty good at that, I thought, last year. I think this year it's been much different, and I really can't quite put my finger on it, because I think this has been a pretty well-coached football team. At least it was last season. This year, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fact that, you know, they just didn't adjust as well as others have with COVID and missing time. I know they had a ton of guys miss a ton of time in camp. I don't know if that's what it is. But whatever it is, something's just not been right there in the third quarter, especially.
No. One of the numbers I always look at is third down conversions. Defense has given up 47% on third downs. They're 33 out of 70. But on offense, they're converting at 26%. I mean, that's a correlation right there. I mean, you're kicking the football away. The crazy number is on fourth down, they're converting at like 67%. Third down conversions to me is a big thing. And if you're giving up third downs, it means the sticks keep moving and drives continue. This defense, 33 points a game, over 400 yards total offense, it feels like it's sort of a listing ship here.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you can look at time of, you know, not time of possession. You can look at, like, total yards. You can look at some of the lengths of these touchdown drives Tennessee's giving up. And a lot of them, it's because the other team is scoring on defense or because they've been given a short field. That's not really necessarily on the defense. But third down defense is very much on the defense. That's something they do control, and that's something that they need to control better. And I think, honestly, you know, sometimes they've left teams in some third and short situations, which is obviously advantage offense a lot of times. They've also just not made plays. I mean, Mac Jones, I think, completed 25 of 31 passes or something like that against Tennessee. They had a big day, whole bunch of yards, touchdowns. But he threw at least three, maybe four passes that should have been intercepted. Not could have been intercepted, should have been intercepted. And they didn't make the plays. And a couple of them, they let the ball go through their hands and Bama makes the catch. So that's kind of the double whammy, because you're not only not getting off the field, you're not only not giving the ball back to your offense, you're also helping the other team put points on the board. So football teams are, you win and lose games, you know, same places people talk about all the time, right? Turnovers, third down both ways, and red zone both ways. If you can be good in two of those three areas, you usually got a pretty good chance to win games. Tennessee's not been consistently good in any of those three areas, and that's why this team that should be a 3-2 team right now is 2-3.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fascinating, as always, coming up on Saturday. Wes Rucker's our guest, Vols 247, here on Ruskin and Zach.
Jeremy Pruitt's 15-15. Yeah, I mean, are you starting to hear some rumblings just with some of the things that have come out, you know, firing your coach at halftime, that sort of thing, big losses to Alabama? He seems like a guy that is kind of prickly to deal with. Is there some rumbling about, you know, him not being the guy?
I don't think you're hearing that yet. Now, if they go lose at Arkansas, which is a game that Tennessee fans in the preseason thought, well, that's a game you got to win. If they lose that game, okay, now you've lost that game and Kentucky. You still got some tough games down the stretch. At that point, it starts to get a little bit nervier, I guess. I don't think anything will happen in kind of this weird COVID year anyway. I don't think I think the bottom would have to truly, well and truly completely fall out for Tennessee to want to do something like that, because they've been recruiting well. You know, it's kind of a weird year. You know, you can be a little bit more forgiving in a year like this, but this is still Tennessee football. This is a place where anytime you lose to anyone for any reason, this is a metro area of a million people that gets really unhappy really quickly. So that's part of it. You know, losing makes you crazy, and Tennessee fans have been going crazy for 12 years now. This is way too long for this program to not be what it should be. So I don't think it gets to that point yet. But it certainly would put a lot more pressure on him going into next year, if nothing else, because I think it's interesting. You know, a lot of people talk about maybe being a little pricklish, and I understand why you say that, because a lot of people say the same thing. I actually have not had that at all. I'm a guy who just covers him. I kind of like the guy. I think he's, for the most part, you know, he's been pretty upfront about things, pretty honest. Now, I don't have to work for him. If I did, maybe I'd say that differently. You know, maybe if I was getting the paint peeled off the walls every day, maybe it wouldn't be fun for me. But I enjoy covering this guy a lot more than I enjoy covering his predecessor, that's for sure.
Wes Rucker, Vols 247 with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Should be a good one. Thank you, Wes, as always.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
All right. Wes Rucker, our guest here on Ruskin and Zach. 6:30 Saturday night. At the dawn, as Arkansas takes on,
is that what we're calling
Tennessee?
It now?
I've been calling it that for a long time. It never sticks, but I don't care. I'm committed to it. So, there you go.
Live across Arkansas.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
Ruskin and Zach on the radio, Northwest Arkansas, ESPN 99.5, around the state on ESPN Arkansas, and streaming on hitthatline.com. All right, it is time now for the Stadium Shop Pick Contest. Do you have any way? How are the standings? Or do you not even keep up with that anymore?
How are we doing in the knockout pool?
We've got 5 people left.
All right,
I looked it up the other day.
You're a little ahead of me on that thing.
Okay.
My eyes suck, so
yeah,
I know I'm probably.
And I'm not very good either.
Nobody's gone perfect. I know that for a fact.
We do know that your daughter went 4-2 because she continues. She wants a shirt printed. I went 4-2.
She not only wants a shirt printed, she wants to come back.
No.
And I'm like, no, this is not going to happen. I've created a monster.
She's going to want her own show on Sunday afternoons or something.
You laugh about that. She wants DQ's job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I had her in here over the summer because, you know, we don't have a staff or anything. I had her in here running Grant's show.
Right. Remember that.
So,
and then Grant would
ask her questions, and my daughter's like, huh? She's not. I'm like, Grant, you don't know anything. You want to talk about, you know, YouTube videos.
Ask her about Teletubbies or something.
She missed Teletubbies, but if you want to talk about some of these goofy YouTube shows, she's all over it.
That's what it is now.
All right. So Robert Mann is here from the stadium shop.
It's more like a treasure map.
I got notes.
All right. On yellow legal paper, so legal pad paper. And Ian, my 11-year-old stepson, right? Is here.
Ian, hello.
Hello.
All right.
Ian, 11 years old.
No.
No? What is it?
12.
Oh, you're 12. Okay. Oh, my bad. All right. He's 12. There you go.
Hold on.
Stepfather of the year. Thank you very much.
Can we back up?
Yes.
Do you have his name written down on your notes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Just so I don't forget.
The woman that is standing here, this lovely woman who is standing here just staring at you.
Child's mother, yes.
Do you know her name?
I think so, yes. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
Does she have a weapon?
She's about to. Okay.
She is unarmed.
Okay.
We don't have any. Yeah, she does have arms. She is unarmed.
We've had this discussion before about your lack of interest in the stepchildren.
And that's not
and
true.
No, you're very interested. I mean, you probably partake in his 12th birthday.
He went to the store with me this morning.
Did he? What store?
Walmart.
Okay.
All right. We went and bought groceries together.
Really?
Bonding. Yeah.
Oh, some male bonding time over some powdered donuts.
At Walmart.
Hell yeah. At Walmart. That's right. All right. So we've got we got a lot of games this week. We got to get going here.
Yeah, we do. We've got 7 games this week. Now, look, Ian, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but I got a 9-year-old that's running her mouth, and I need you to come up with 5 victories. So
we've got to knock her down a couple pegs.
I need you to shut her up. So we're going to start. You want in on this?
Yeah. What do you got over there?
All right, let's start with the big game tomorrow night. 2 ranked teams, BYU. 9th in the country, taking on Boise State, depending on which poll you look at. They're in the low 20s. BYU at Boise State on the Smurf turf.
I think I'm going to go with BYU here.
For any particular reason?
I don't know. That was my gut reaction. Go with your gut. Okay.
BYU.
And I have an ample size one, so I'll go with that.
Boise State. Yeah. Robert, what do you got?
Okay, so Boise leads the series 7-3. And by the way, BYU is number 1 on the Smurf turf.
Yeah.
They're due.
Okay, you remember that later because I've got a they're due coming up.
All right.
I'm going Boise by 3.
Okay. All right, Ian. Are you ready for your close-up? BYU at Boise.
BYU.
Why?
Because good. I don't know.
I thought you had notes.
Yeah, I know, because Dad said so. I'm not looking back here.
Okay, first rule of radio is I need you up on on the mic.
But you can put the phone on the table
make yourself comfortable. It's fine. All right, so we'll move on to the next thing. Don't worry about it. We got 6 more of these to go. Michigan traveling down state, I guess, or 2 states or whatever. They're going to take on Indiana. my geography's a little off right now.
I forgot
for a second where Indiana was in relation to Michigan. Michigan going to take on Indiana. Michigan 23rd in the country, Indiana 13th. Robert?
Okay, so obviously you haven't been watching the election results, or you know where Michigan and Indiana are, because that's all they do is point at a map. Indiana's lost 24 in a row to Michigan.
That's not good.
That's bad.
What is it? They're calling it the 9 Windiana. Is that what they're calling themselves? They won 8 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So Michigan lost, they were a 25-point favorite last weekend going against Sparty.
Mm-hmm.
Sparty comes into the big house and just whoops them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana.
Whoa.
Windiana.
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.
Okay. All right, Ruskin, what do you got?
Harbaugh is checked out. He's already t- talking about going back to the NFL. Indiana. Yeah.
We got two on the Hoosier train. Ian?
It's hard. I had Michigan.
All right. I would go. I'm with Ian on this one. Michigan's going to win that game.
The Skunk Bears
will find their way. The world's largest cocktail party is taking place in Jacksonville this year. Florida. Going to play Georgia. Not the line. Ruskin, Florida, Georgia. What do you got?
Florida, Georgia.
Florida.
The offense is more put together than Georgia's, which is still kind of rocky.
All right.
Kyle Trask and, they're good.
Ian, Florida, Georgia.
Same as Derek.
You're going Florida.
Yeah.
Gators. Robert, I know you love the University of Florida. It's one of your favorite places on earth.
That's my second favorite team.
Right.
I thought Bryant was your second favorite team.
That's high school. Oh, does that count as a college team now?
Might as well. There's probably a few they could beat.
North Little Rock thinks so.
Look, I've been to three of these things, and what time is it? And it's Thursday? Yeah, they've already made about six trips to the liquor store.
You're being kind.
They take this outdoor cocktail party serious. They've been drinking since probably 7 a.m. yesterday. I mean, this place, and it's a great environment. If you've never been to one, I would advise you to go. Florida beat Missouri after the brawl. They didn't lose anybody for this week, did they, or did
nope,
they?
Nope. Just okay. Find Mullen.
And Georgia had a problem with Kentucky. Georgia's got to get their offense going because right now it's not. And I think they're in trouble. I think Florida by five.
All right. 25th ranked Liberty, 6-0 on the season, traveling to Blacksburg, Virginia to take on Virginia Tech. Hugh Freeze may have already checked out. Where's he going?
I don't know.
Auburn? Wouldn't that be fun? Liberty at Virginia Tech. Ian.
VA Tech.
Going with the Texers. All right. Robert.
Hugh Freeze has Liberty in the top 25.
25th ranked.
How bizarre is that?
He went from coaching in a dental chair to now they're in the top 25 in 1 year.
Right. That's
pretty good. Pretty good.
And a pandemic.
Look, the guy can coach. He just likes the hookers.
Earmuffs.
And Tuberville is now in political office.
Yeah, he's a... is he a congressman or a senator?
Yes.
Thank you.
Liberty's strength is a run game. That quarterback they got, Malik Willis, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
That he pronounced it? Transfer in from Auburn. He's got 500 yards rushing himself so far with seven touchdowns. But Liberty, really, six wins against teams. Okay, check this out. The wins that they have are against teams with a combined record of 4-28.
Okay. Yikes.
Virginia Tech and Liberty.
The Football Power Index says that Virginia Tech has a 91% chance to win it.
They're a giant favorite. Yeah.
Have played football.
By the way, Tuberville is a senator.
Yes.
From Alabama.
Well, good for him.
U.S. senator.
Okay. Liberty and Virginia Tech.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go Vought Tech. I'm with everybody here. They're giant favorites and come on.
Tech by 21.
All right. Big game. Saturday night in South Bend, Indiana, top-ranked Clemson at number 4 Notre Dame. Here come the Irish!
I got to hunt that down.
It is so bad, man. Clemson at Notre Dame. Ruskin? Clemson down 3 starters.
Well, Clemson.
Okay. Ian?
Notre Dame.
My man! My man!
Look at this. Look at him trying to curry favor.
My man, you are welcome back here anytime. Robert?
All right. Like you said, Clemson's got 3 out. Mm-hmm. 2 of them are linebackers.
Yes.
And Lawrence is out. And I think that game last week, they made a couple of mistakes that I don't think they're going to make this week. Clemson by 20.
Okay.
Matt says Notre Dame, though. My son.
I knew I liked Matt better. Yeah,
he's picking Notre Dame.
Good man.
I told you, we got this thing going.
And you know what? You've been wrong a lot. So, Matt, congratulations.
Well, somebody's going to be right on that one.
That's correct.
He's gone opposite side.
Let's move on to the pro game. We'll get to the Arkansas-Tennessee game here in just a minute. Let's move on to the pros. Big one, Sunday afternoon. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. Now, Ian, I hear
it's the Sunday night game.
Is it the Sunday night game? Oh, thank God. So, the Monday night game we don't have to watch.
Right.
Okay.
That's Patriots-Jets.
Ian, I'm told you're a Madden guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
You think you can beat me?
Maybe.
I put my money on him.
You want to handle this one?
I don't know. You've taken some people to the woodshed in here on Madden.
Yes, I have. I've been doing it since Honeys was wearing Sassy.
But you have Xbox, right? No?
PS4.
Oh, you do? Okay, yep. That's what he has, too.
All right.
I was about to say, there could be a disadvantage if he has to learn an Xbox
There's nothing
control.
Like trash-talking a 12-year-old.
That's right.
Ian, who you got, New Orleans or Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay.
Tommy Brady?
Tommy Brady.
By the way, the Saints won the first matchup. Ruskin?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going Buccaneers, too.
All right.
So this computer game geeks section of the show is brought to you by... Anyway.
Yeah. There are like 40 million of us.
Yeah. Well, okay. Go outside and play real football. Okay, so it's a rematch of the season opener. Yeah,
I'm doggoning
you. I'm doggoning you. Rematch of the season opener where the Saints won at 34-23. Okay, last week the Saints eked out an overtime win against the Bears, did they not? And
they did.
The Bucs beat the Giants. And so far, Brady looks like he's getting comfortable. They're at home. Give me the Bucs by six.
All right, so you're all on the Tampa Bay bandwagon. Saints are going to win that game.
Okay. You might be right, because I heard on the radio you were talking about how their cap, they're in trouble over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
This might be their year to, you know, put up or shut up.
This is all the chips to the center of the table.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bucks still, though.
All right, 6:30, Saturday night, SEC Network, Tommy Hart, Jordan Rogers, Cole Kublik.
Tommy.
They've got the call. You can hear it right here. Start your Arkansas game day with Sunshine and His Eminence at 1:30. Sure. Before we do this, I'm being told that Ty got bird poop in his mouth. Can we address this? Because we don't know. Somebody's going to have to tell me the story.
We have to do a whole hour on that. Like, you can't just go to that now. Like, that deserves its own.
What I need is I need somebody to fill me in on the details because I'm just finding out.
How does that happen?
I'll give you two guesses. Tennessee at Arkansas.
Gee.
Okay. Volunteers a 2-point favorite in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Ruskin?
I think Arkansas is going to win. They got the better quarterback. I think they got the better defense. And they win.
Say it.
Give it a Hogs, Chuck.
Thank you. Robert, what do you got? Tennessee at Arkansas.
So, Lord. Okay, so Tennessee won against South Carolina, Missouri, and then they've lost three in a row now. I read one writer that is a beat writer for Tennessee saying that even the off week ain't going to help them any. That 1 week off ain't enough to get ready for Arkansas. So the beat writers down there are pretty much down on them. And another one named Mike Smith, I got it written down here, said Burks looks like a nightmare for Tennessee's poor secondary.
Okay. Ooh, poor.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
So, and again, these odds, you know, you said they're favored by two. Isn't that Vegas? Which
Vegas.
Is just basically trying to get you to vote.
No, it's Ankeny, Iowa, where they set the
Harris dog track.
No, that'd be the one in West Memphis.
Oh, yeah, Southland, yeah.
Southland dog park. So that's just for odds. I mean, that isn't really saying who they think's going
to
win.
Right, they're trying to get split equal action. But it's an indicator.
Who isn't?
Arkansas by six.
All right.
But if you talk about that, the spread. Arkansas is undefeated against the number this year, 5-0.
Yeah, yep.
Thanks to a touchdown in the last minute last week.
Well, and that's one thing, too. They don't give up this year, so.
That's true.
All right, Ian. Tennessee at Arkansas.
I have Arkansas.
Score?
By six.
Okay, you're with Robert on the Arkansas by six. That makes it unanimous. I had Arkansas.
That's an 8-point win against the number.
Mrs. Ruskin, would you like to weigh in on this? No, I don't do this. Okay. I was told emphatically no.
That's right.
Those are your picks. Brought to you by the Stadium Shop, Robert. You got tailgating spots still available?
Yes, we do. And here's what I'd like to see. Okay, so call me 479 Stadium, and I want to sell some of these things this weekend, and I'm willing to make a deal.
Oh,
so give me a call 479 Stadium. I'll make a deal with you because what I'd love to see is okay. They're telling me one of the guys that worked in the stadium last home game said there may have been 11,000 at that game, and he works in the food section. There wasn't really 17. He
said for the Mississippi game.
Yeah, there wasn't that many people there.
Yeah, I was there.
I'm telling you, from the parking end of it, on our end, we didn't see that many people as we did the game before.
It was a pretty good crowd.
Okay, so anyway, you can't tailgate on campus, so you can tailgate with us, and I would love to see a line of people welcoming the team as they come down Razorback Road, and you know, you can flip them the bird, the other team that comes down to, if that's what you want to do. I don't care. It's Tennessee. They'll think so, you're telling them they're number one. You know?
So you're ready to sharpen the pencil on some deals here to move these ways. All right.
Yes, I want these tailgates. I want to see some fans out there greeting the team and, you know, throwing things at the other team that comes by. So call me up. Let's make a deal. You know, I don't have to call corporate office and ask permission because guess what?
You are the corporate office.
Me, my wife, and my son, we are the corporate office. So call me. I'll make a deal with you. Let's greet the Razorbacks. We are the only alumni. You know, we're here. We went to school here. We live here. It's our team. But let's show up.
All right. And special deal if they tell you Joe Bombastic sucks.
You and me, we're going to have a conversation.
We're going to step outside after this.
Okay, let me ask you this, Robert, because this is one of our poll questions. Who's worse, Creed or Nickelback?
Okay, I hate both of those.
Yes, but you got to pick one.
That's been established.
Okay.
Everyone hates both of them.
They're both jokes.
Yes.
Absolute jokes. But I will tell you, Nickelback probably has the better songs. And I've seen them do covers of a couple other tunes. I really like their cover.
They did Photograph.
I hate saying that.
They did a cover of Photograph.
Now, that I haven't heard.
Okay.
But they're probably the better band. I just hate Creed, and I hate Nickelback. There's
How can
Nickelback's
you hate a band?
I saw what Creed. I saw Creed in North Little Rock once.
Did you really?
Yeah, in high school.
Did they inhale profusely?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, I know what you're saying now. It's all right. Some guy threw my jacket, and it almost went down on the floor. We were in the permanent seats, and they had the bleachers pulled in, so there's that drop-off.
Is it all the old Alltale?
Yeah. And some guy threw my jacket for some reason, and it landed on the rail. It didn't go over the floor. I'm like,
so somebody's got your jacket out there. Please return to Chris Reskin.
If you were at the Creed concert, that's right. If you were at Creed in like 2000,
no. So Nickelback's probably the better of the two bands. So not only I hate Nickelback, so there you go.
Okay.
I have the details on how Ty ate Bert.
I saw this just arrived.
We'll talk about this in the next segment after the break, because this is going to take a full breakdown.
Yeah,
what we have here is a Zapruder film magic bullet, and I'm not sure.
Back and to the left.
I'm going to call BS on this.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy this story
either.
Because
the physics on this don't work.
No, the math doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that. This is BS.
479 Stadium.
Yes. Call him and tell him Joe Bombastic sucks, and we'll throw in a Ruskin and Zach t-shirt. Actually, you know, if you'll just call him, first five people to call Robert to tell him Joe Bombastic sucks, we'll give you a t-shirt.
Oh, good Lord. Now my son is at the house door with that phone going, what are you doing to me?
Matthew, just get their name and number.
So, 479 Stadium, shop on Razorback.com, 989 South Razorback Road. Come and see us this weekend, guys. Let's get this thing rolling. It's the first time that Arkansas has been favored, or in my book.
It's the first time people have looked forward to a November football game in a long time.
And say, we should win this. Yeah. Holy crap.
What'd you think of the college basket, the non-con? Excited about that?
Yawn. Oh, sure. I haven't even seen it yet. So
I got to believe these games stink because of the pandemic. Like, he doesn't want to make a schedule like this all the
time.
Nobody does. No, I mean, come on. Lipscomb? I mean, really? Come on.
Well, I mean, if they get those games in, I mean.
Well. Texas? Is Austin Ani going to be making a special appearance in the North Texas?
We play North Texas a lot, so I haven't seen it.
Play ORU a lot. Tulsa still has Frank Haith. There's a reason to.
Are we playing UALR?
No, just UCA this year. But Darryl Walker said they're going to play again at some point, just not this year.
So my brother went to UCA, and he said that stands for you can't attend.
All right.
That's got to be the worst, ugliest field on the planet. It's got to be the ugliest.
The stripes?
No, the purple.
That's right. Yeah, the purple and gray, yeah.
Whatever it is.
People at UCA think it's beautiful.
Yeah, the stripes.
I would love
I understand at your age, seeing color is a challenge.
Oh, shut up. You know, here's the deal. The Smurf Turf game tomorrow night, I'd love to watch that, but daggum, that's
third
hard.
Quarter, you can't it's do it.
Have you seen Coastal Carolina? Their field is like
the color of your shirt.
Yeah, it's like aqua.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's weird, yeah. And they're undefeated, though. So
what's the point? It was unique at one point. Now it's just stupid.
Eastern Washington has the red field. You seen that?
Yeah. No. You could murder somebody on that. Right. Nobody would know.
It's bright red.
A murder occurred down at the 5-yard line. If everybody just tripped over the body, you'd never know. you would have no idea that it happened.
Wow. Well,
they said, speaking of weird fields, last night Northern Illinois is playing, and they've got a silhouette of the state of Illinois across the middle of the field, like a real giant. It looks like a big pee stain on the field. Like we were talking about Texas Stadium yesterday.
Question, real quick. Did you see that meme that went around about Auburn's got a parking lot? Probably me. Sorry. That's my son probably calling. Where there's a meme where the parking lot looks like Arkansas?
No.
Okay. Never mind then. No.
But it looked like.
Why don't you go deal with that?
We were talking about the Texas Stadium turf with the pee stain. And last night in Northern Illinois, it looked like someone went boom on the rug. All right.
Ian, thank you.
Hey,
good job.
Good
job, Ian.
Good job.
You survived.
Less is more in broadcasting. That's so you're correct. You're doing great. All right, Ruskin and Zach, we'll return in a moment. It's an important day. 65 years ago, Doc Brown invented the flux capacitor when he fell off his toilet and hit his head. Well, that's important.
That's incredibly important.
Okay, we're glad you're here on Ruskin and Zach. We got a lot to go on here. I have listened to this to refresh for those of you that
we've only recently become aware of this.
That's right. And we were working in the last segment. And we're trying to figure all this out on the fly, but we were listening to this story, this tall tale, I'll call it, with Ty Richardson from the morning show today, where he claims that yesterday on his way to dinner, he was driving and a bird dootied on his mirror and it then bounced off the mirror, paused in midair, mind you, and then into his mouth.
Now, if this sounds familiar, this is the magic bullet theory, which
right,
is
mess.
The bird poop hits the mirror
or
bounces, I guess to its left, our right, and then takes another turn.
Left to right on your radio.
Right.
Dial.
Then takes another turn, which would be right into Ty's mouth.
I can't.
This is a million to one
this
shot.
This is also the magic loogie from the only episode of Seinfeld you've ever seen.
That's correct. Back into the left.
Right.
Now, let's paint the picture here. Now, I'm imagining that Ty, I don't know what kind of car Ty drives. Does anyone?
I don't know.
Okay. So let's just say it's a sedan of some sort, a four-door, you know, grocery getter. He's got his window down, and you know that Ty, in his just inexplicably stupid youth, is doing the gangster lean. He left hand on the wheel, right elbow on the console, and he's leaning right.
Doon, 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 da, da, doon,
yeah, listening to,
doon, doon, doon,
probably listening to some Creed or Nickelback. Now, if that's the case, and he's got, and Ty is probably one of those people that wears the Oakley wraparound sunglasses.
Hey, do you wear those?
I like that
the whole field of vision is.
Do you really?
I think so.
Oh my God! All right, we can deal with that in a minute. So he is protected basically from the nose up.
Yeah.
With the gangster, there's no chance this thing would have hit him in the ear if said bird poop was a rubber ball. It's a million to one shot.
It's a car. You were right on his car.
Okay.
It's a sedan. I'm being told by my sources. And he's got people in the building. They're selling him out here. I wonder how many people down there believe this story. The odds of a bird taking a dump and it's striking the mirror of a moving car at, I don't know, 40, 50 miles an hour are nothing short of miraculous.
Now, okay, let's just assume maybe he's at a traffic light. Why is his mouth open?
He said he was listening to us, and he was stunned by something you or I said, and his mouth was ajar. He was, I can't believe it.
I'm ringing the BS buzzer on that.
Okay.
No chance. Again, he's probably gangster leaning to the right so that he could get to the radio, and if there ever were a woman in the passenger seat, he could get to that too.
I didn't think that stuff bounced. I thought it just stuck.
Yeah, it splats. It doesn't bounce.
And I'm with Kraft. I would not have been able to work ever again. I would have been chugging. I'd have got drunk on Listerine if that had happened to me. And peroxide and anything else that scrubs, sterilizes, and disinfects.
Trucker Scotty B says he drives a Toyota Camry.
Yes, that's what I said.
That is in no way shocking for Ty. Cool. He's a middle-aged woman.
I used to drive a Camry.
Again,
I drove the crap out of that car, man.
Can we get back to you wearing the wraparound Oakley sunglasses?
Can we go get them?
No.
Okay, all right.
No, I do not. Can I make a suggestion?
Please.
It is not 1991 anymore.
I don't care.
Now,
I don't have to try anymore.
If you're playing baseball, that's fine, or softball or anything like that, which you're not. Okay. I can roll with that.
I like to have my entire field of vision with the sunglass tinting. I don't like the little cracks on the side where you can look out and you see, you know, regular sunlight. I like the whole field of vision covered.
Dustin in Huntsville said he had a bee bounce off a mirror, land between his legs, and sting him and his boys.
Again,
the odds are very low.
You're more likely to win the Powerball than this to happen. Like it's insurmountable. The Cowboys are more likely to win a game on Sunday than this. Seriously. A moving car.
Now, nobody.
And the bounce.
Now, again, I'm only using my personal experience here. Nobody, when they're driving, leans left to move them closer. How close are you to the mirror where this happens? Why are you leaning to the left? There's no chance.
That's a heck of a carom off the boards.
You couldn't get that.
Those are some juicy boards.
You could not get that good a bounce off the green monster at Fenway. There's just no chance.
No, that's right.
There's no chance. So,
I can't believe this.
I'm not
the
saying.
Bird crap bounced off the mirror and directly. That's the other thing. Have you ever been to a hibachi and they try and shoot that little thing in your mouth? Like, you can't even hit that.
No. And you think a bird from 65 feet is going to drop a deuce and hit you? No.
Now becomes the reckless use of the microphone portion. How did he end up with bird crap in his mouth?
Yeah, now that's the question.
That's what we got to know. Because this story is like Swiss cheese. It's full of holes.
The story, the fact is he wound up with bird crap in his mouth.
This story is like my childhood. It's full of lies. What happened?
Was someone holding him down, giving him a noogie, and making him eat the bird crap? I would put my money on SmackDown for that.
Was he hazed?
Every day of his life.
And he's Kent Dorfman. He's a legacy from Harrisburg. This does not compute.
There's some holes in this.
Especially if the car's moving. This is like a trillion to one. You're more likely to have a bus hit this station right now. We're good. Okay. We always look over our shoulder when that happens, just in case.
Hogball 30 says this sounds like something he made up in third grade.
I just didn't know that stuff bounced. I didn't know there was a ricochet factor in bird duty. I thought it just went splat. I didn't know it went boing.
I mean, it's more of a carpet bombing. It's not a rubber ball. Right. So it's not going to splat at you. Yeah, I'm not buying this.
I do get nervous when I am, when I walk, there's a sidewalk where I am, and it's under power lines. And so you could imagine the birds hang out. And you look at the sidewalk, and it's covered. And you always wonder, well, you look up.
Is
today the day that I get hit?
Right.
Usually I wear a hat just in case because I don't want that.
It's not really going to help you.
Well, I'm not going to get it in my mouth. I'm not going to look up. Oh, look at that.
So we need more details on exact. I would like to cross-examine Ty Richardson on this particular story.
Yeah.
Because why is your mouth open? I mean, that's problem number one. And then all the physics to this. No, something about this doesn't add up.
No. Wes says objects in mirror are closer than they appear.
I have been led to believe that.
That's right. It's just like the Seinfeld. Kramer exclaims, "I've been hit!"
now, the House.
There was a second spitter. Though.
All right, so the House attorney, has some questions. Have we established if the car is a sunroof? Also, have we established if this side... this inside mirror or the rear view mirror that it bounced off of? These are good questions.
No, it's the window down. So it's the side mirror. And someone pointed an excellent point here. It's not bounce, it's splatter.
That's correct.
So that adds a new element of play here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This boy had bird crap in his mouth yesterday.
Kevin and Prairie Grove think about that. He does point out if it was a condor, maybe. This might happen.
May have been a big old hawk or something. Yes. It wasn't a stool pigeon or something.
We know is that he did have bird crap in his mouth. That is a fact. Now, how it got there...
How do you continue to drive at this point? I would pull over and vomit. Wouldn't you?
I would believe...
You'd be dead. You'd be over for you.
No. That's why you keep an extra bottle of water in your car at
water,
all times. Water.
Listerine.
Altoids.
And rubbing alcohol.
And thank God he doesn't have a girlfriend, because how are you kissing anybody? After
hydrogen peroxide. Yes.
Rubbing alcohol. Mm.
Hand sanitizer.
This would be an actual occasion where you could tell the officer, look, I have the bottle of vodka. I'm sorry, but this is what happened. Tell that story. You know what? If you tell that story to a judge is going to throw it out.
Do you think that he saw it and then always wondered what it tasted like and he licked it? Do you think that's possible? We've got a Kyle Sam. Sam texted that he might be a window licker. I don't know. Because I could see that happening, and then he's got to come up with a story. Because you can't say, I always wonder what it tastes like.
Well, he got caught. Somebody caught him.
Yeah. You got caught in the lie.
Because we know there was nobody in the car with him.
No, his dad was in the car with him.
No, he's on his way to go eat dinner with his dad. His dad was not with him.
Oh, really? Yeah, I thought they were in the car together.
He was alone in the car. Now, his dad, if his dad was there, I don't know that he's a reliable witness, but at least we can get some more information. But no, he was on his way.
Well, this is some tale, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
This is some tale.
Not buying it.
No? All right. Mm-mm. Well, there you go. It's not a bounce, it's a splatter. Right. That changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen bird poop
that was a
bounce along the road.
That was a juicy one then. Mm-mm. I mean, that was after Taco Bell or something, you know what I mean?
The bird or Ty?
The bird.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just, no.
Yikes. All right. Well, we'll continue to investigate this to the fullest ability of our powers.
We will put our investigative team on this and see if we can get you some more answers as to how the bird crap wound up in Ty's mouth.
You know, this is a great example, as Andrew points out here. This is a great reason to wear your mask in your car. Because you never know when splat happens. If he'd had his mask on in the car, he'd have been okay here.
Question, part of point of parliamentary procedure, is this the worst thing that's ever been in his mouth?
Oh, God. Now we're getting somewhere that we don't want to go, I don't think.
I'm going to say no. Let me mark the tape.
This is some story.
Yeah, this is what we like to call in baseball a humdinger.
That's true.
It's the humdinger.
The humdinger. I can't believe this. I've never heard of anything like this before.
Nah, you know what? Andrew points out, if Ty had been wearing his mask, none of this would have happened.
I just made that reference Andrew, like 2 minutes ago.
Did you understand that Viagra is the number one recreational drug in America? Golly, that hasn't happened to me in a long time.
Oh, my God.
But that text just came in, or tweet just came in.
TL says, Ty's phone didn't eat first on that one. No, that's his big social media deal. You know, phone eats first. He takes a picture of the food before he eats it. That's
his
big...
Yeah, I don't follow Ty, so I wouldn't...
I've seen it a few times. I don't follow him either.
I can't do this anymore.
And what happened? Did he start ripping off your highlight breakdowns? Yes. He's doing that now?
Yeah, he's doing that now.
Oh, my God. Not that you're the only person to ever... You know, break down football via social media.
They do
media.
It every night on ESPN.
But for you to do it,
we're in the same,
and then in the same on the same channel, someone else to do it is a little
close.
It's a little familiar.
Does this mean I have to go eat bird crap?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good, because I'm not doing that.
Only if Notre Dame wins at all, we'll make.
I'll
you
tell
do
you
that.
What. If Notre Dame wins this weekend, I will not be here Monday.
Okay, good.
I will be,
thank you for your
I will
loyalty
be,
to the cause.
I will be so hungover. I will not be here.
I'll come in anyway. It'll be great. You won't be the first person to be hungover on this air. What
no,
are you talking
that,
about?
That's well, you didn't like me the other day when I was grumpy.
Oh, you were grumpy, yeah.
I wasn't grumpy.
What was going on there?
Nothing.
Okay, all right. I don't know.
Absolutely nothing.
All right. You were grumpy.
I wasn't grumpy.
No. All right. Yeah.
So if anybody was actually at the corner where this runaway fruiting happened, I would like you to please...
It's a run by fruiting,
please
dear.
Please let us know.
That's right. Oh, man.
Will asking if I did have to eat bird crap, would I use a fork? Yes.
Great. Yeah, fork and a knife, please.
Andrew and Lowell would like Ty to put together a top 10 list of animal waste that he has eaten.
He should he should always drive, maybe not a mask, but with one of those face shields.
Yeah, the face
shields,
the Andy Reid face shield.
That's right.
But
yeah,
what get you a face shield. What have, well, people, let's, again.
He needs some PPE for his driving.
This is a teachable moment. So what have we learned here? Gangster lean would probably prevent a lot of you from eating bird poop if should it ever, you know, a 1-in-a-million shot hit your mirror. Two, we should all wear our masks in the car. Or you make this really simple, roll the windows up.
It was a nice day, though.
I don't care. I mean, if the odds are that you're going to eat bird poop or roll your windows up, I'm rolling the windows up. Look, I've had birds hit my mirror, and no one has ever splatted up against the window.
No, I've never had.
I've never seen that done.
I hit something with my Camry once. It was some sort of street rodent. I'm not sure what it was. It was 4:30 in the morning when I hit it.
Hold on. Street rodent?
I don't know what it was. Like, I mean, was a raccoon.
Was he a bad seed? Did he go for the bad side of town?
No, not a street urchin, you idiot. A street like you know, something you'd hit in the road. And it was so weird because it wasn't crossing. It was like trying to run. It was trying to outrun the car. And by the time the headlights on that car weren't very good. And by the time I saw it, there was nowhere to go. So I went right up the back of that deer. It's identical. Yeah.
So you hit this street rodent.
Yeah, whatever it
You're
was.
Not sure a gopher. What it was. Was it a humpback?
It wasn't a skunk. I can confirm it was not a skunk.
A gopher?
Raccoon?
Do we have gophers around here?
Armadillo? I don't know. It wasn't an armadillo.
You hit an armadillo. I mean, they
Well,
spin.
It did punch out the little place sitter where you would have fog lamps. You know, that little round piece of plastic. It did knock that out. So it was. Well, it wasn't like a little turtle or something. It was something substantial. It may have been an armadillo. I don't know. That was a long time ago. And it was like at 4:30 in the morning. And I was the only car on the road. So I don't know what was going on.
Ryan in Prairie Grove would like to know if the bird totaled his car. I've never actually seen what Ty is driving. I imagine that it is. You think it's got rims on it?
I don't know.
I would bet on it. Rolling around in a Camry with stolen rims.
20s?
Oh, no question. No question. He's got that thing. He's probably got
He wants to be a baller?
He's got
shot caller?
It probably has a wing on the back, and it's got a purple light underneath. Something looks like a prop car.
Oh, ground effects.
Yeah, it looks like a prop car from the Fast and the Furious. It's a Camry, man.
Oh, it's called a varmint, what I hit.
Ah, yes.
Varmint. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. All right.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Here's one that says a turkey flew into my stepdad's truck a couple months back. Now, he sent a picture. I didn't think turkeys could fly.
Wow.
No, I mean, I'll tell you what. That's a turkey.
No, that's in the truck.
I mean, in the truck.
Yeah, I'm not, that. Yes.
I didn't know that turkeys could fly.
Well, neither did Les.
Apparently neither did he.
Neither did Mr. Carlson on WKRP. Well, Scott is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly. They're dropping like bags of wet cement.
Eric in Boonville, I need to know if turkeys can fly.
Well, let's ask Les Nessman.
TL says that Ty rents his rims.
It's on a rent-to-own. You got an installment plan?
Yeah, B.E. says he's got the youngest radio host in Arkansas lanyard hanging from his...
He's also the only radio host in Arkansas to eat bird duty. So congratulations.
Good for you.
Nate. Put that in the imaging.
Oh boy, we're covering a lot here. Nate Fayetteville says turkeys can fly. They roost in trees. Did anyone know that?
Scott is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly.
I didn't know that.
Well, I told you, I guess it was last year when the bird was in the house, my house, because someone left the back door open enough, not like wide open, but enough where a bird flew in there, and I had to corner the thing behind the chair in the corner, and it proceeded to soil itself on the hardwood floor that I had to clean up later.
You or it?
Both.
Okay, but okay. It.
Well, I'm sitting in my room is... It is connected off of the what you would call the great room. The kitchen's in there, the living room. It's all one big open thing. And I hear this this fluttering against the one of the lights that hangs down over the bar. You know, I hear this this little fluttering. I'm like, what is that? I go out there. There's a bird in the living room. I'm like, what? How what do I do about this? So it goes in the corner. And I'm yelling, get! Like that's gonna do anything? Get! Go! And then it finally it flew out somehow.
Chewy in Springdale says domestic turkeys can fly, wild turkeys for drinking.
Well, yeah. Zach's very familiar with the wild turkey.
No.
Particularly Saturday night, he will be, I'm sure.
This Saturday?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no?
No.
You're not drinking Saturday night?
I am not.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I got an engagement Saturday.
Oh, my God. You should drink anyway. What if they're drinking?
That's not going to happen.
Or they don't do that. That's too bad. Do they curse?
No.
So that maybe they filled out the poll then. maybe they don't curse.
All right, guys, we got the information on the turkeys. We know they can fly short distances and roost in trees.
Well, there's a delay effect. It takes 4 hours for the radio waves to disseminate across the landscape here. And it's dark, so they go slower.
I didn't know that. I've learned something today.
I don't know how the engineering works on that. All right, it's 19, almost 20 after the hour here on Ruskin and Zach. And we actually do owe you an SEC report.
We do.
And we will do that right now.
As soon as I get all of this together.
Brought to you by Eat My Catfish.
Had lunch there today, man. Go get the gumbo. It is so good with some boudin. It's fantastic.
Started 11 years ago in a trailer in Benton, Arkansas. Now has locations in Benton, Little Rock, Conway, North Little Rock, where I'll be next week, and Fayetteville. They serve fresh U.S. Farmers catfish, crab legs, gulf shrimp, po' boys, and more. Don't forget Mama's tartar sauce. It's a true family recipe. Let's eat my catfish. Now open. Fayetteville, Georgia Safety. Richard LeCon has been released from the hospital after being involved in a traffic accident Saturday night after the Bulldogs beat Kentucky. That, according to Coach Kirby Smart, good night for him. Louisville has paused all football-related activities, and its game at Virginia is set for Saturday. It's been moved to November the 14th because of COVID outbreaks. Utah coach Kyle Whittingham has signed a contract extension through 2027. He's the guy that took over for Urban Meyer. Think about that. He took over for Urban Meyer at Utah, and he's been the coach there ever since.
Right, right.
Opening night of the MAC football season at Kelly Shorts Stadium in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, lost power, causing Central Michigan and Ohio to take an early halftime on Wednesday night. I couldn't care less who won the game. Somebody was winning 20-13 when the lights went out, and they were down for about 20 minutes. Welcome to the MACtion. And Ohio State point guard Abel Porter, graduate transfer from Utah State, will not play for the school this season because of a medical condition that announced by, and if you had this in your bingo card, basketball coach Chris Holtman. Did you know he was the head coach at Ohio State?
No, I did not.
I had no clue.
I was unaware of that.
That's your SEC report brought to you by Eat My Catfish.
Nate in Fayetteville texting, and I've got an SEC report for you. Mm-hmm. Chad Morris sucks and Gus eats boogers.
Thank you, Nate.
All right. That's what we're looking for here. All right. John in Fayetteville has a text here. I think Louisville halted all football activities in Petrino's second stint. All right. We can't do trivia. I haven't gotten to confirm the trivia question yet. Like, I think okay. I have it right, but I got to check it because you'll all yell at me if we're wrong and we'll have a whole...
We got 8 minutes to get it right.
Legal...
We'll
have a whole legal...
We'll have to hire the attorney. Right.
Then we're going to have lawsuits, and this trivia question will get hung up in the courts for months, and we won't have it answered by January 20th. So, well, I got to look at that during the break and see if I'm right. If my hunch is right on this trivia question, and then maybe we'll do it next segment.
Chris from Nashville Logistics, and he'd like us to forget the sports and get back to food. Dude, we just spent 22 minutes talking about bird crap.
No, we're talking about bird duty for 20 minutes.
What do you want?
And he ate it, so it's technically food, I guess. I don't know. You're not supposed to do that. I always heard as a kid, if you touch bird poop, you get all kinds of diseases. Is that true?
I heard that about armadillos. You know, I'd never seen an armadillo till I came to
college. Well, armadillo, you'll get leprosy.
That's what I heard. Huh. But I also heard that's not true. I'd never seen an armadillo until I came out here. I came out here for college, like my roommate's dad.
You say out here, like you go into one of those saloons with two swinging doors and a tumbleweed blows by.
I'll tell you what, if you were in Fayetteville in 1991, that's exactly what it was like.
Yeah, that's the dome, though, with the saloon, though, right?
Yes.
The dome's not there anymore.
What year was that game?
What game?
The one in question?
Hold on, I'll check it out here.
I'll get you an answer pretty quick.
It is 2002.
Gotcha. All right, I'll take care of it.
All right, thank you. Gives you some trivia where you get a Stadium Shop gift card and the always coveted Ruskin and Zach t-shirt. These things are like, they're actually a commodity at the Chicago Board of Trade now. Ruskin and Zach t-shirts right there with like cattle and corn and all that stuff. Hogs. Yeah, you can listen to the farm report, and then they're trading our shirts now. It's a commodity. So we'll do the trivia coming up here in a little bit. All right, 866-285-4005. Don't call now for the trivia. In fact, I'm going to turn the phones off so we don't have any tomfoolery here. I am?
Yep.
Okay, good. Then we'll do the question when we come back. It's kind of hard, but maybe not. This might be a tough one. I don't know if you'll get it. We may have stumped the audience with this question. Okay. 866-285-4005. Ruskin and Zach t-shirts and pork belly futures. That's right, Travis. Thank you. All right. We will return.
Trivia time. Who wants to win a t-shirt?
No. Hacker's already answered the question. We haven't even asked it yet.
Hacker is a...
He's an ineligible man downfield.
That's right. He is forbidden from winning anything.
He's already got a shirt. He didn't even
ever.
Ruskin and Zach will return in a moment. There we are.